Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke Mathers, the big guy doing the shoulder roll. That's Brian Kelly.
I'm doing the shoulder roll out of it's really good. It's a fun thing.
It's a fun Monday afternoon. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media here in Madison, broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. For Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM. You're holding down the fort over there in the Shaw, big guy.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. We're having fun over here. I had a great weekend. I had a really amazing weekend, actually. Got to see a basketball tournament. Got to experience a really, like, you ever watch the TV show This Is Us?
I have not.
Okay, so there... they're known for big romantic gestures, you know, really cool things like getting really cool gifts for people or doing like, oh, look at this wonderful thing that I did that's amazingly and thoughtful and makes me feel like everybody else normal feel horrible about, you know, the wonderful gesture that you did. So
they also do generational storytelling, right? Where it's like several different eras.
At the same time. Yeah. So, and they all...
it's an interesting, yeah.
Well, it's cool because rather than doing flashbacks to explain why a character feels a certain way, you experience how that person felt that way and why, like, they experienced that. And then you also experience how they deal with it as an adult. And
that's how Animal Kingdom, a show I watch, has been doing, kind of continued on for several seasons now because of that. Incorporating past storytelling, similar, I think, to This Is Us.
I like multi-layered storytelling. But the entire thing is, the point I brought it up is that they do big romantic gestures type of thing. And I got to witness one in person for Amy's uncle. We went out to an Italian restaurant in the Bayview area. Very fantastic place. Santino's. Really cool, awesome, you know, old school Italian-y type of place. And it's, you have to get reservations only. It's fantastic. Had a lot of us there. We were all drinking and loud and fun. It's Amy's family. So we all had to go gather outside somewhere for some reason. This is like Saturday night, like the middle
of the
snowstorm.
Everybody kicked you out, like, in the middle of the snowstorm outside.
Like in the middle of the snowstorm, we're like, get your coats on. And we're like, okay, let's go. This is the type of thing you get out for like a proposal or something like that. But I mean, the guy's 70 years old. You know, that's where they're to celebrate. It's not like, and this is from, and the person who's clearly coordinated, this is the nephew. And I'm like, okay, cool. Let's let this play out. This guy's awesome, and I like both of them. They're really cool people. But it was weird because I didn't know what to anticipate.
Yeah, all of a sudden, going outside in the middle.
There's a porch out the back, and it's a snowstorm, and there's all this snow coming down and everything. It's like that was like the heaviest part too, where like thick flakes are coming down. And I noticed that the area had been shoveled out recently, and I'm like, that's interesting. So we're all gathered on this deck in the back, and all of a sudden you start hearing. Boom, 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 boom. And it's like five or six of the Wisconsin tubas, like from the Wisconsin marching band. Like they're like, some of them came in from Madison to do this gig type of thing. Like there was, because the uncle is a huge Wisconsin alum, and he's, you know, really big into this type of thing. So he melted and lit up. It was freaking amazing. But I never thought that I would be sitting out in the middle of a snowstorm, laughing and crying at the same time while watching a 70-year-old dance in the middle of the snow.
Yeah, to some good old Wisconsin tubas.
To the Wisconsin tubas, who were fantastic. They were just really, really well. They were on point. Everything they did was great, and they took a request, and it was fantastic. It was a really cool experience. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was also in Milwaukee for the snowstorm that took place on Saturday, and I was there for a birthday as well. Big shout out to my dad, who turned undisclosed age over the weekend, but got to spend some time with him, the niece, and the nephews. It was an excellent time. Drive back wasn't as much fun. You know, I-94 in the snow is always an interesting endeavor, I guess, to call
it. Just you and the mammoth trucks.
Well, no, I honestly, very few semis. Very, very few semis. I don't know if they just planned on the snow
and they
just
like,
decided.
Nah, dude,
yeah, they weren't going to do it. But always fascinated by the people that go 30 miles an hour when there's inclement weather. Like, it wasn't that bad. And I don't know. It's always an interesting endeavor.
No matter how much you want the other people to go fast, don't get close to them.
No.
Ever.
Yeah, you always have to.
Okay.
You have to
just a little tip out there for
caution.
Driving.
Well, yeah. And I can understand the I-3990 backup that took place north of Janesville or around the Janesville area.
Oh, yeah.
Last week, that was just tragic.
Like, same time at the border of 94 as well, like right past Kenosha.
So I proceed with caution. I just didn't think that the weather conditions when I was driving required a 30 mile an hour drive. But some people were doing that, and if whatever it takes to get you home safely, that's the most important part. But it was a great weekend all around, Brian.
Yeah.
And I see you're repping my old high school colors.
Yeah, I got to see. The girls had a tournament this weekend at the OC.
I always laugh because I was literally on my way to Milwaukee when a text from you pops up on the Apple CarPlay, and Kelsey just looks at me and she goes, why is Brian texting on the weekend? And I was like, I don't mind Brian texts on the weekend. Like, you can text me whenever you want. I usually know it's not a work-related text, but sometimes it is.
Unless it's an emergency.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes it is, but I was like, Brian can text me whatever. So it plays out over the hands-free device. So it's playing over the car speakers, and you're asking what row I'm sitting in the high school picture for Oak Creek that I was in, I won't say how many years ago, but it was more recently than you thought, I guess.
It's fine. It's fine.
And Kelsey's like, why is he asking you that question? And I was like, well, I'm assuming he's there at one of the high school. He's got to be there for an event, and it was a basketball tournament for your daughter.
Yeah, I couldn't find you still. Even with the directions.
I have a version of that picture in my garage, so I'm gonna have to go take a picture of where I am in the picture and send it
and
to you.
Circle it,
yes.
Because I'm also remember it's also at the bottom of the thing, so I have to squat down to see it or bend over. The whole time, and I don't care, but a lot of people, I mean, it's in the middle of the giant hallway, and a lot of kids don't. Let's say they're 10-year-olds running around, and they're about the same height as where I would be bending from. So, I just don't do that very much. So, the point is that
you couldn't find me in my class photo. Okay.
But something I learned, very, very important, girls basketball, your team doesn't necessarily play better if you yell at the girls. Just found that out, because I'm like, they're 10. They're 10.
Oh, Brian.
And they're still trying to figure out where they are and what to do with the ball, let alone have a grown man yelling at them.
Yeah. I was working out at the Y over the weekend, and one of the fun things is the workout gym kind of the workout room overlooks the gym, and there's probably not 10-year-olds, but like 5, 6, 7-year-olds playing basketball, and they're just getting coordinated, and it's very fun. There's no yelling in that, as far as I can see from the above.
You got to help them make the right decision and learn what they're trying to do. That's it. At the end of the day, if they can execute a pick and roll or see somebody open, doesn't matter if like they get the pass picked off or anything. If they saw someone open and made a move for that, I'm down for that. That's great. Like this, I care about development. Yes, I care about the winning, but if they lose, did you learn something? Did you play good defense? The things that you could control, did you do that? That's what I care about, but not. Now, I understand that in gyms, sometimes you have to yell, but there's like yelling to communicate, and there's yelling to, wow, dude, calm down.
Yeah.
But again, that's a choice for kids, and that's a choice for people to do. And speaking of school choice, that's not a really good transition, but Scott Ross did post a picture. This is what we have to talk about the Supreme Court race, right?
Yeah, folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, he's Brian, and let's bring it back to a little. We're catching up from over the weekend, man.
Those are important things.
Yeah, if you want to share a tangent with us that you had over the weekend, 844-967-2789. But I also saw this Scott Ross comparison from over the weekend, Brian. So let's share it with the people.
So Scott Ross makes a point because Jennifer Doro, she's running for Supreme Court in this state. One of the four candidates there, you got Everett Mitchell, you got Janet Protasiewicz, and you have the Cape wearing Dan Kelly. And the important thing is that these people are trying to show what they stand for and what they're into, but they can't necessarily say I'm going to rule this way because that's. But without doing
it's a nonpartisan race, so you're not supposed to do that. And conservatives were decrying foul when Protasiewicz said that the maps were rigged, indicating that she's already projecting where her opinion is if a case were to come before her for, say, determining the constitutionality of the state maps that we have here in Wisconsin.
Yeah. And, you know, Janet Protasiewicz decided that she, and this is on her Twitter account, I believe, such a pleasure to attend the School Choice Wisconsin event at Discovery World in Milwaukee on Tuesday. I especially enjoyed meeting some of our School Choice students and their families. And again, listen, I'm not going to demonize the entire school choice thing, but again, there's no way to fund, I don't know, two school systems when we are not currently funding one.
You can't do
so,
it. Doesn't work.
You can't do it.
The math
it doesn't work.
And the math is not there.
And again, I don't want to say if you're going to a choice school that everything is horrible. I'm more just saying that, you know, the system, the way it works right now, isn't really good. And going more towards that way can lead down to some very bad things. And my point is, besides that, you know, school choice, maybe not the best thing to do. But if you're a candidate and you're signaling, hey, tell me how you're going to vote without telling me you're going to vote that way. That's what's going on here.
Well, and again, Scott Ross was just calling it out on Twitter because he wants to see, you know, the state organizations, Wisconsin State Journal, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, so on and so forth, to see a story on Doro having to recuse in school privatization cases should the issue of constitutionality be revisited in the same way redistricting maps could be. So Scott's just pointing out, Scott Ross, friend of the show, pointing out that we should have the same take on it if that's the way that you're going to cover it. Huh. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke. He's Brian. If you want to share a tangent, 844-967-2789. We're going to try to get back on track for this Monday afternoon with some more headlines.
We already are, baby. In Chicago, working in the bars.
I'm tired of playing on the team. Ooh, it seems I don't get time out anymore.
So when I was working at the bars in Chicago, there is a there may be still.
You just code switch. You just code switch so hard. You just went into the.
What do you mean?
The more sultry voice, and you just.
Yeah, that's fine. That's what I'm doing. It's just myself.
It's cool. It's code switch. It's cool. You heard something, and it triggered something else.
It's Cool Whip, and it's Cool Whip that's smooth like Hall & Oates. So anyway, when I was working on the bars in Chicago, it was popular. There was a service called Call & Oates, where you would call up, and there was this British woman who answered and said, "Welcome to Call & Oates. Press 1 for one-on-one." And it would play Call & Oates, like... songs for you, like, and this was number one on the song. Also, someone has been in my head, and the algorithm has been in my head and posting things. So, Hall & Oates, someone posted up a mashup of Hall & Oates, I Can't Go For That, and Nine Inch Nails Closer.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out which the two songs were fast enough, so I just told Evan, play some Hall & Oates and play some Nine Inch Nails.
But you don't. It's okay. You don't want to play closer here because it's
not a fantastic song.
I grew up on Nine Inch Nails.
FCC is listening. But... We can't play that one. Folks, by the way, since the FCC is listening, welcome back to Dueling Tangents. We're on a little bit of a tangent, as we tend to do from time to time when it comes to music.
I love the Hall & Oates, man.
If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. But yeah, little Hall & Oates in your brain because of the algorithms are listening.
But the thing is, if you want to know what my musical tastes are, if you want to go and take the two extremes, I both love Hall & Oates and Nine Inch Nails and identify with their music. So that's pretty much the entire spectrum of all of music. So good for me. So again, all right, we're getting back to this Supreme Court race and Jennifer Doro. And let's say another incongruent thought is, you know, what are you doing here at this school choice thing? And again, I want to point out what could possibly go wrong with the school choice thing. And I hesitate to go and say things that happen in the extreme or use, you know.
Well, no, you want to be very careful of the slippery slope argument. You don't want to say that one decision will all of a sudden lead to this. But it's very hard, Brian, right now when we have on full display the state of Florida, classrooms in Florida just emptying the shelves of their school libraries because of a Republican passed measure that said, we need to approve everything that is in our schools now. And so schools don't want to get dinged or fined or worse, so they're removing everything until they can go through the approval process.
Yes. Yet, also in Florida, you can go to high schools specifically just football and not go to class. Because there are several high schools that are specifically just for pro-level athletes to go to as a high school, but not to actually go. They don't really have class. Daryl and I covered this whole entire situation a couple of years ago. It was a huge scandal on ESPN, and everyone's like, whatever. But that's a result of lackadaisical, you know, just let the choice figure it out. Let's let school choice figure it out. What could possibly go wrong? And again, I hate to go and bring up things that are the extreme, but when they actually happen, let's say in the state of Ohio, where they also have a Republican gerrymandered rigged legislature, what could possibly go wrong? I don't know. There's a neo-Nazi homeschooling movement.
What?
Yeah. A neo-Nazi homeschooling movement. This was shared by Craig Calcaterra in his morning newsletter with me.
Brian, when you shared this to me, I literally thought this was like some kind of SNL skit. Like this was like a comical, so far out there that it couldn't possibly be real. But no, this is a network of parents homeschooling on the ideology of Nazi Germany.
Nazis. And this is from the article that Craig Calcaterra quotes. Dissident homeschool is called Dissident Homeschool. It's a popular neo-Nazi Telegram messenger channel with over 2,300 subscribers that focuses on homeschooling children with an emphasis on Nazi principles. The channel is run by two individuals who call themselves Mr. Saxon and Mrs. Saxon. Lest we be accused of calling anyone we disagree with Nazi, it is worth noting that Mr. and Mrs. Saxon are literally Nazis, and they are not shy to use the term in Telegram channel and discussion. They frequently express a reverence for Adolf Hitler and his Nazi regime. On the occasion of reaching their 1,000th subscriber, Mrs. Saxon posted a photo of boys performing a Nazi salute and spelled out their mission. It fills my heart with joy to know there is such a strong base of homeschoolers and homeschool-interested National Socialists. Hail victory.
But let's just deregulate our schools and...
What could go wrong?
Just do away with the Department of Education, do away with anything, just expand vouchers. Anybody can go anywhere. And we're going to fund two systems with one budget and pick winners and losers.
Please understand, I'm not trying to cause fear. I'm not telling you that people are doing this right now in Wisconsin, because I do not know that. But you could very easily see this happening in things like, I don't know, Kiel or places that rhyme with Baraboo or are Baraboo. Probably Baraboo. That'd be my guess.
Well, it's disturbing, Brian, that the trends have seen only more and more of stories like this over recent years. That these aren't one-offs. These are a network of 2,300 parents homeschooling their children in that ideology. And
are you saying this isn't a one-on-one-off?
I see what you did there.
Look, I just want to play that game tonight, all right?
Oh, man. Is that Colin Hoetz? Still,
it's Colin Oetz. Is that still a line
that you can call?
I'm going to find out.
There you go.
I'm going to spend the break trying to figure out Colin Oetz. I'm not going to get ready for the next thing because...
No. We just fire off the tangents as at will. So
no, I got him lined up here. Like, this is, we're following a script here. This isn't like... I mean, I'm not completely pulling this off. Like,
see, I thought I got my fill for Hall & Oates when I was producing Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Dude, and you never get your fill for Hall & Oates.
Are you sure?
Luke, I'm as your radio partner, I'm just telling you, you may be straying into a wrong opinion area. That's okay. Just...
Fair enough. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to share a tangent, 844-967-2789. Those phone lines are open.
I called the FCC.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. He's Brian. You're listening across the state of Wisconsin on a civic media radio station near you. Or maybe you may be listening to us on the go with the Civic Media app, which you can download if you don't already have it on your smartphone or other devices by going to the Apple or Google Play Store, search Civic Media, and it will pop up. You can take us with you. You can jump from station to station. You can listen to all the fine programming across the network. And it's a pretty neat app, Brian.
It is a pretty neat app. While you're driving, you can switch to different stations as you go. You can change around depending on how your interaction is with your car. But mine, I have a nice little screen. And when I'm driving, if let's say there's like three different high school basketball games going on around the state, I can choose to go to three different basketball games. If during the football season, we were covering like, I don't know, there's at least four markets that have high school football right now.
Yeah, three or four easily.
This past, you could, on a Friday night, you could go through, and if, especially if you're a high school football fan, you can go through and see and listen to different games being called around the state. And, you know, they're live local coverage, guys. This is what we're all about here at Civic Media. It's fantastic. What we're able to do, what we're able to do now with what we have is amazing. I'm telling you, and Krudy keeps talking about building the Death Star. We are building it right now. The parts are arriving. I get text as we're doing the show. Sometimes when I'm gone, it's because I'm building parts of the Death Star and things like that. So hopefully no one will find an exhaust port and blow us up.
Hopefully.
It'll be ourselves, but then you know, it's fine.
That's a tangent for another day. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. You can be like Joanne here in Madison. Joanne, what's on your mind for this Monday afternoon?
Yeah, just a quickie, and then I have my comment. I just followed a Dan Kelly commercial. I think people have noted this. I'm not sure if you know what commercials are being covered. And I know that Krudy and all of that, we need money. But just to note, we hear that the commercial, and it was a cheesy commercial. I mean, come on.
Oh, it's awful.
They gotta put some money into this. Okay, but my comment is my thanks for your bringing up the school issue in Florida. Those school libraries are very, very important to kids. We're spending all this time and effort thinking about what TikTok is doing to kids' brains. How would you feel if your school library that you cherish, that's important to you, gets emptied? And why? I think the kids' angle is not manifested enough in this. I think that's why it's not the big issue it should be. This should be the second issue. Of course, the Memphis issue is number one with the five beater uppers. But this should be the second. I mean, this will be devastating. So thank you so much for bringing it up as a tangent. And being the people you are, this is the greatest show, one of the greatest shows that the station carries. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Joanne.
Thanks, Joanne. Yeah, and that's where we're going next. But, Man, you can't really empty out the libraries unless you repeat the same history over and over again. And oh my goodness, what would happen if you read a book that you didn't agree with and then you'd have to talk about it with somebody and maybe, my goodness, you might have a different opinion on the whole thing, or maybe you'd be able to talk about things in an open way, like, I don't know, the adults you're trying to be when you're in high school. I had the benefit of being taught by largely a lot of Jesuit brothers and a lot of pretty open-minded folks that really made me think about things and would put things to challenge me, not necessarily because they believed them, but just to challenge my thought process so that I'd have, I don't know, a well-rounded way of thinking. Maybe a reasonable way of thinking, and you don't necessarily think in the world in terms of black and white, and that's what happens when you limit people's information.
Yeah, there are very few things that you could do worse than just trying to completely censor the options for, just because you don't agree with something does not mean that it needs to be banned. Like, it is coddling individuals and being like, no, that is too difficult of a subject, or that's a subject that's too messy, Brian, that we don't want to teach you on. We think that the part of queer theory in AP American history is not something that should be in our classroom, so we are just going to shelter you from it and never discuss it and prevent it from being taught in our schools, and then act like it is such a surprise when where we go in, as a society, is where we go, because it is just the banning of the books is just the biggest sign to tell you that you should go and read that book. If somebody is trying to prevent you from reading a book, you have to ask why they wouldn't want you to read it.
If you don't like an idea, maybe you can, I don't know, formulate your own argument and ideas as to why that idea is incorrect. Einstein was famous for saying, like, somebody once said, oh, I'm going to get 99 scientists to go and prove you wrong. And he's like, if I was wrong, you'd only need one.
Oh, well, it was Edison.
Because
Edison,
that's how science works.
Edison said I didn't fail 999 times to invent a light bulb. It was, I don't know.
A whole bunch of other people failed.
There's a lot of, yeah, there's a whole lot of
him
other,
to
yeah.
claim that he invented the light bulb, but it was other people's work. But again, it took someone to collaborate that. He was George Lucas in that way. But that's a long other tangent. So many tangents here. All right, so look. I cut myself
I knocked you off balance.
No, that's good. We're going to go into the Tyree Nichols, and there's no really good way to get into that.
No, and Joanne alluded to it, how it is a top story to discuss. And for those who are unaware, last Friday, 6 p.m. on a Friday, Brian, definition yep. of a news dump, the yep. Memphis Police Department was preparing the public release of body cam footage that displayed a horrendous act of police brutality. And I didn't watch the video because I don't need to know. I don't need to watch the video to know that it happened. I truly believe that we have all become a little bit too numb. And for some people, I understand that you need to watch the violence to see it. You need the...
Certain people do. I'm not judging yeah. you if you have to, but that's awful, and I don't need to see it myself.
Right. And so I didn't watch the footage myself. A sixth individual from the Memphis Police Department has been put on leave as of today in the events that led to the death of somebody that was beat to death. And the police report at the time, Brian, is just disturbing after the fact, because that's what I've seen the most this weekend since the... I refuse to watch the video. I can't do it.
I'm already angry enough.
Yeah. And
sad.
Sad. Upset, depressed, a lot of different things when time after time after time we see these stories of police brutality. And one of the interesting dynamics of the then public comments, or the then comments from the police department, talking about the routine nature of the police describing the events that led up to this individual being hospitalized and then and ultimately dying, was how routine, how banal, how by the book the write-up sound was written. And the cops portrayed the event as if they did nothing wrong. And I don't have an answer for how this gets fixed. But it is all too often that we have to talk about these stories, and it doesn't get any easier anytime.
Okay. Well, okay. I'm going to start here. Machiavelli. I'm going to go with Machiavelli. The best shield ruler has is the love of the people. If you are a public servant, if you are seeking to, let's say, run for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, or you are a police officer, putting yourself on the line, in the line of duty, all those catchphrases you want to go and say, your best shield, your 100% best shield, is public perception. If that is tarnished, that puts good cops at risk. If you don't have swift accountability, if you don't have swift transparency, I'm happy it was released, but why is it released on a Friday afternoon?
At 6 p.m.
Public perception is the best shield for any public figure. And we are lucky enough to be joined by a public figure right now. Maggie Dawn is on the line. How are you, Maggie Dawn?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Full of magic and wonder and a little bit of despair and dismay and upsettedness. So we're tangenting, so we don't have to necessarily, but we have to talk about this situation and keep the anger in our bellies, but in a reasonable way.
Yeah. On that point, I did just want to offer a potential counter argument to the not watching the footage. And that is, I think it really is incumbent upon all of us to watch the footage. In the same vein that, you know, Emmett Till's mother asked for her son to be photographed and for that to be shared widely, bearing witness, as horrifying as it is, especially for white people, I think is an imperative. You can't talk about it purely by reading the accounts without really reliving the horror of that by watching the actual footage of the video, which is absolutely horrifying, which puts into a much more visceral context the tension that you guys are talking about between the original accounts of that stop from the Memphis Police Department and what you can observe with your own eyes. I think people of color need to make and have every right to make a different decision about whether to watch that footage again, because it is so traumatizing and is much closer to their daily lived experiences. But I think especially for white folks, it's really incumbent upon us to sit down and watch that footage and bear witness to what has been going on and will continue to go on until we can figure out what are the obstacles. I think we have to identify the obstacles to meaningful reform. And I'll just offer this up as one of those potential obstacles, and that is police unions. In almost every major urban jurisdiction, police unions will fight tooth and nail any sort of reform effort. And it is because of that and because of the various procedures and processes that attend to disciplining and terminating officers that you so very rarely see termination or meaningful discipline, and it all relates to collective bargaining. So I just wanted to offer those two observations, gents, and wish you well in your last segment coming up. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate that, Maggie. Yeah,
thank you very much, Maggie. I really appreciate it.
I did not view it from that lens. I agree that is an excellent counterpoint.
I'm lucky enough to have had a teacher in junior high. I went to a Catholic high school in Nashua, New Hampshire. And I had a religion teacher, Mr. Cloutier, Thomas Cloutier. And he made us watch the Emmett Till wake. We watched it, black and white. I remember being kind of horrified and a little bit traumatized and sad as a kid, but because I watched that, that perspective has greatly informed who I am and where I look at things and how I look at things. Because even me in Whitey Whitetown, New Hampshire, being exposed by something that horrific, which, again, going back to what Joanne was talking about, is being pulled out of schools so that people don't have that experience. And when they see things like, they're just some cops doing some bad things. Okay. It's so much more than that.
Yeah, and I think Maggie also makes an excellent point about the police unions. I think it was telling how bad this film was going to be when those five Memphis cops were fired without any argument from the union.
Yeah.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got one more segment left of the day. Plenty of time for your tangents. 844-967-2789.
Reznor, I was trying to get my mic up so I could just and just, it's great. My buddy Jason used to get his hair was the same, and he just and we had a lot of fun with our fake microphones and doing a little bit of the air guitar championships are right up my wheelhouse. I'm really good at lip syncing. The lip syncing battles are just,
yeah.
I need to be famous enough for Fallon to get me on to do a lip sync battle, because
that's the ultimate goal of what we're doing here.
That's really what I. That's honestly, what folks. Truth, justice, all that type of stuff. But really, Nine Inch Nails on Jimmy Fallon. I think that'd be great. I mean, the guy's an Oscar winner, so it's Fallon, right?
Folks, welcome back to Dueling Tangents. We're having some fun with these real mics, not just the fake ones. But if you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. It's good. It all makes a whole lot more sense now, Brian, that I just put it through that lens, that everything that you're doing is just to get famous enough to be on Lip Sync Battle with Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, and again, I don't want I don't really care about the fame as much as I just think it'd be awesome to have a Lip Sync Battle, and I think I could do really well.
Well, let's head back over to the phone lines. We got Jack and Merrimack calling in. Jack, what's on your mind today?
Well, just a short comment. I've heard several conservative commentators, conservative is a nice word, I wouldn't call them that, but anyway, saying that because there were five black officers involved in this murder, this is black-on-black violence. And either these people have not got any kind of a clue about what institutional racism is, or they're pretending not to. And I would rather, I believe it's the latter.
Jack, I'm sorry to cut you off there, but are you trying to say that these people aren't listening to, let's say, reason?
Well, yeah, truth be told. Institutional racism causes virtually everybody in the institution to have a particular attitude towards a particular group of people. And it doesn't make any difference if those people are black, if they're white, whatever their ethnic heritage or their race may be. The institution has drummed this fear and these ideas into them. That's what it's about.
Yeah, I can totally see that, Jack. And for me, rather than getting into, because I completely agree with you. I understand that's a quagmire of a public discussion to get into as far as this goes, which is why I'm going to go ahead and reemphasize what Ben Crump was saying last weekend. Ben Crump is the lawyer who also he pops up in a lot of these things. He's really he generally has the right thing to say at the time, at least I found. Anyway, his take on it was, this is now the standard. This is how every single incident of this nature should be held. No matter how bad, You're going to show me a worse video than this? Okay, there's probably a bunch of worse videos than this. But my point is look, man, you've got to show transparency. Again, like I said before, public perception is your best shield, and taking care of and disciplining bad cops is your best shield to help the good cops, because there are many more of those. But again, it's not about how many of this, good cop, bad cop type of thing. It's you. If you find the bad cops, have a method to get rid of them quickly and publicly and severely, because otherwise you're going to have things like people don't trust cops anymore. Oh, my goodness. Why is that? Why is this happening? And then you have, you know, people putting up stickers, you know, a thin blue line on the back of their vehicle. But we all know that's not necessarily a thin blue line. It's just saying, by the way, I am pretty back in the bad stuff. And it's disheartening.
The hard part for me to swallow as well is just the fact that this was a unit, a Scorpion. Yeah. Unit is how it was described. They went to the areas that the police department determined had the most crime and probably did acts not as egregious as this, but in this similar vein, Brian, to other individuals down in Memphis. And this is something that the department was condoning. It was applauded, talking about how the Scorpion unit was cleaning up crime and how frustrating it is when we boil these issues down to the talking points, and then you get the people talking about, well, we need to be tougher on crime, and then things like a Scorpion unit are what come about the mindset that we need to get tougher on crime.
You've been watching Law and Order and Chicago PD way too much. That's pretty much it. And even then, a lot of the earlier Law and Orders, they were dealing with, you know, when do police go too far? What is that line? How far is it? Where is that? These are the, and now it's just, those are bad people and we've got to take them down. And okay, you got a voice like this, but now we got to take them down. And sometimes I got to bend the rules to make it so. And then it's just, we can't look at everything through the lens of a TV show, even though that's literally what this entire show is about. But it's because people communicate that way now. Yeah. That's how people look at things. They don't see five cops out there. They're like, I wonder if one of those was like, you know, one of the cops on you know, Chicago PD, and looking at it through that lens, you know, oh, that's like that one episode that I saw the other day. The discussion is a lot more real and a lot more, you know, I don't know, when somebody gets beaten to death and now on national television in front of your eyes. And again, there's nobody going, well, he deserved it. Or nobody's saying, oh, what'll he, if he didn't just, because does anyone really know why he was stopped? Have we figured that out yet?
No.
Have we decided what he was even stopped for? This wasn't even part of the discussion. We haven't even talked about what this guy did, if anything, that deserved such a beatdown. How horrible, was he such a threat? I don't even know if the guy had a weapon. Did it even matter?
No, having a weapon on you does not condone five police officers killing you, beating you to death. And yeah, this is a very difficult story to discuss, Brian, because again, you can't boil this stuff down to the talking points. But when you do, you get the environment that this happens in. And so that's why we have to talk about these things. It's why we have to kick around the nuances. It's why we have to go and tell you how things are related. Because far too often, it's not easy to dissect within an hour.
Folks, brutally killing people and then telling the public to only respond peacefully is one of the most wildly absurd things that's normalized, as people kill more people yearly. When they say peace, they mean respect and accept the state's monopoly on violence. So when people are out there protesting and really angry, don't go, why are you being so mad?
Calm down. Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents. We'll be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to you then.